The Corian Football Club podcast is kindly sponsored by the Lodge Hotel, famous for food, functions, and fantastic value.
Hello, welcome once again to the official Corian FC podcast. We're all a little bit brighter this week for reasons that are obvious to anybody that follows the fortunes of the Ballinsiders. But more of that anon. Before we start, once again, we'd just like to say a big thank you to our kind sponsors, the Lodge Hotel in Corian. And for anybody that this may interest, I'm not sure if our special guest this week may be interested or not, but the Lodge Hotel are holding a wedding open day on Friday the 9th of February from 3 p.m. until 8 p.m. And it's going to help sort of visualize your perfect wedding day. The Rathdown suite will be dressed for a civil ceremony, while the Allen suite will have tables dressed as they would for your wedding day. So they will have experienced wedding coordinators on hand to discuss any questions that you may have. So anybody who is thinking of getting married in the foreseeable future, don't forget Lodge Hotel wedding fair on Friday the 9th of February from 3 p.m. until 8 p.m. So without further ado, we'll get started this week. And I'm delighted to say that we're back again. We missed last week, and for a very good reason. One of our co-hosts was away, other side of the world. Johnny, you were away. Tell us where you were.
I was in Las Vegas for a stag do, so there's cheaper places to go in a stag do a month after Christmas, but sure, these things have to, you know. So no, good crack. Some city, and I just a totally different way of life, and I just a wee bit mental.
I hope you put a bet in Corian winning against Glenavon, did you?
No, I didn't, Darren, to be honest. They've probably never heard of Corian over there, to be fair. It's more just black, red, or green on a roulette machine, and that's just how they do it over there. So just one of them things you probably do once or twice in your lifetime.
Very good, very good. Well, I've never been there myself. Now, we're joined this week by a special guest, as I said, and he's a man, he's no stranger to Corian supporters. Started his career here, and he's back again. And I just happened to notice he put out a tweet yesterday or today that it was 9 years ago, I think, to the day that he made his senior debut. First of all, welcome our special guest, Jamie McGonigal. Jamie, was it 9 years ago today or yesterday?
9 years ago today, yeah. 31st of January.
I mean, you're sitting there at home now, and I mean, 9 years, a lot of things have happened in 9 years. I mean, what do you remember about that particular day?
I remember a lot of it very well. I think it was, I got called up on the training on like the Thursday night, and was told then that there was a chance I could be in the squad come the Saturday against Institute. And nervous going to the game, obviously, but Johnny Law told me, he had told me, if you go on, just run. Don't think about anything else, just run, just show you that you're going to work hard. And I get on, I think it was only maybe 7 or 8 minutes, but they were joking about it after, saying I was on 7 or 8 minutes, but I must have ran 5K. So just, I mean, I chased everything, chased keeper. Well, you wouldn't see me doing that now, right now, but no, I remember loads about it. Obviously, it's where it all started, and I've had a lot of games since.
Yeah, we'll come back, I'm sure. But you say about the running thing, and I suppose it's kind of the innocence of youth, isn't it? You know, what I think you were 17, were you, Jimmy?
I was 17, just about to call me 18, yeah.
17, and as you say, you probably just wanted to make a good impression, didn't you? And you just, as you say, you just ran about, and just the innocence of youth.
Aye, that's it. That's probably being naive too, just ran and ran and not realising. Because see, obviously playing in the reserve football, we know disrespect to them, but once you move up to senior, people can just play it around you sort of thing. And of course, I just stole just an Institute would be known as a decent football inside. Like, I just ran about, just chased everything, chased lost papers in the wind and everything. It was, I don't know, I definitely slept all right that night anyway.
I mean, Johnny, do you remember Jamie's debut? You probably do.
I remember the game. I think we won maybe 2 or 3-1 that day. Could be wrong, maybe. I think Matthew Snoddy scored. Would that be right, Jamie?
Snolly scored to love the keeper now. And
Well,
Parky, was it now?
I think Parky scored as well. So it could be 2-0, 3. I don't really know, but I remember being there that day, drama hole at that stage. So it's been a long time since then. So it has.
A lot of things have happened since then, Jamie. And of course, January, we're nearly out of January, but the transfer window opened. And of course, you were one of three players signed by the club in January. So you're back for your second spell at the Showgrounds and, 9 years in between. I'm just wondering, what differences have you noticed or, how things have changed around the place? Anything in particular you've noticed?
Well, in structural terms, like the changing room, and that's obviously been upgraded. Everybody has their own sort of nearly like a booth, and you can leave things there. That's sort of first team only now, so that you can leave whatever you want there. Your boots, any, I don't know, like say shower gels, like all that and stuff that you'd usually had brought with you. But probably that and the structural side of things, and then obviously a few players have changed in that, and then the pitch. The facilities are obviously upgraded, and there's obviously going to be plans to, like with that grant and stuff I've seen there the other day, the plans to develop it even further.
What about you're obviously used to now the 4G as well because a couple of the clubs that you subsequently joined after Korian Crusaders, Derry, and now Korian all play 4G. Are you happy? You like playing on the 4G?
I like playing on it just because it's you're nearly near enough guaranteed a flat surface. And whenever they're wet, they're good, but when they're dry, they're tricky. And then plus, if you be honest, in the whole island, there's not really many good grass pitches. You're talking Windsor, obviously. Mournview's good at times. Then Tallaght, Shamrock Rovers pitch, and the Aviva. Other than that, some of them can be hit and miss depending on the weather.
I suppose, Johnny, it's something that we've noticed, but you don't maybe think about it until Jamie mentioned it there. The
Yeah,
small number of grass pitches or the decreasing number of grass pitches, it's almost now nearly every club has got a 4G pitch. It's a bit of a change from 10 years ago.
and I've seen there that Newry now have a grant in for a 4G pitch now as well. So there's another club that are going down that route. And yeah, I suppose and Dungannon obviously they used to have a great grass pitch and now they're a 4G. So yeah, that one really leaves Limfield and Glenavon left and. I think the Glens were thinking about going down the 4G route too. So, yeah, it'll be nearly a case of spot the grass pitch in the Irish League. Never mind spot the 4G. So, yeah, it's just all changed, and yeah, I think the clubs are seeing maybe the benefits with artificial pitch and in terms of being able to train on it and obviously play matches when the weather's bad. So, yeah, look, they prefer a grass pitch over artificial, probably would, but I think in terms of Northern Ireland football and. And everyone else, I think it's definitely the way to go.
And Johnny, what about you? I mean, I know you always liked Jamie as a player and you followed his career and you were quite happy, I'm sure, when he came back, were you?
I don't know about that. No, listen, I think it was a move that suited probably both parties. So it was. So yeah, look, I've known Jamie a long time, and I think he played his best football probably with Corian at that stage as well, and obviously went on to Derry and done well there too. But I think Warren knows how to get the best out of him too, and Jamie probably just didn't get as much football at Derry towards the end, so he'll definitely get that with Corian, and he's used to being a full-time footballer as well. And hopefully with the way that Corian are going, he can help Corian as well.
And is he a decent golfer as well?
Okay. He would have you thinking he's on the PGA Tour at times, but
Listen to this.
to be fair to him, he can hit a golf ball, I'll give him that. I hit trees, he usually hits a fairway, so we'll leave it at
Damien, put
that.
it this way, Johnny went out golfing with me a year or two ago. I think there might have been 40 shots on it, and I'll send you the videos of Johnny trying to hit a golf ball.
It could maybe find its way onto the Korean social media pages somewhere along the line if he doesn't behave himself. But I mean, 9 years ago, Jamie, and then obviously, as Johnny said, arguably you may have played some of your best football in your first spell at the Showgrounds in Korea. And then one thing and another, you left and you went to the Crews and then subsequently to Derry. Both good times and bad times at both clubs, fair to say.
I would say both good times and bad times. Obviously, Crusaders started off well. The first season scored a lot of goals in that, and then second season was really playing out of position. Didn't enjoy it. Was more or less needed to leave to get my career back on track, and then see him again at Derry for the first 18 months or so, playing every week, scoring goals, and then probably season just passed there. I was on speaking to the Derry Journal about it. Probably my downfall there. I wasn't selfish enough last season because I was doing more stuff, more like a team player role rather than being selfish like I usually was, and it obviously backfired on me, and I was out of the team, and because I wasn't producing the goals, which obviously strikers need to do, and then it just came to a point where I needed to move on again, and Corian was the option.
Yeah, you know, strikers are judged by goals, aren't they? With whatever way you want to look at that. And you mentioned the Crews there, and I do remember whatever you mentioned about being played out of position, because a lot of the times when you were at Crusaders and you played for the Crews against Corrine, and a lot of the time you seem to be playing more on the wing and stuff, and it wouldn't be your natural game, I suppose, would it?
Aye, it was usually on either the right wing or the left wing. I very rarely played through the middle, and like I don't mind if it's more on the left side, but I'm not a defensive minded player whatsoever. So if I'm wasting my energy sprinting back the way towards my own goal, by the time we turn over the ball, I'm not going to be able to do nothing going forward because you need that few seconds recovery, if you know what I mean. So. And then that was sort of happening. I was nearly playing, I would nearly say I was playing wing back at a stage. Me and Johnny and that have joked about it before, but you know, it was a frustrating time when it got like that.
It was, I mean, Johnny, I think it was unfortunate for Jamie because obviously he left Corrie in a big money move. I think at the time it was a broke the Irish League transfer record, and Stephen Baxter obviously spent that money and brought him to the Crews. And I think Jamie was probably unfortunate insofar as that when it came to the crunch, Stephen Baxter was always going to play, I think, Jordan Owens in that centre position, wasn't he? And Jamie suffered as a result.
Aye, like I'm as much of a defender as Jamie, to be perfectly honest. So, but now listen, you're going to like Jamie, you know, you're going to take that away from any striker. You know, you put Matthew Shevlin, for example, as a basically a wing back. You're going to take his best parts of the game out. So, yeah, look, Jamie needs to be played through the middle or maybe to the left of a front three. In my opinion, so if you play him anywhere else, you're going to waste him that sort of way. But that's the, like if you play like you're not going to play Stevie O'Donnell up front. You know you would waste his capabilities as a defender. So, yeah, look, I think it was a strange one. Obviously, they spent all that money to bring Jamie to the club, and I think Jamie actually had a good record up there as a striker. So I think they push him nearly as a wing back. It's confusing. I'm sure Stephen would have his arguments about it, but. From the outside looking in, it was pretty strangely.
Yeah, Jimmy, do you regret moving to Cruise at that time then, as a result of that, or not?
Not really, no, because like you can't look like I don't think you can look back and regret too many things. Like things happen for a reason, and that obviously, and you know, I wanted to try something new at the time. It was a prospect of full time football, and probably. Like I could probably argue if I maybe didn't do that, I wouldn't have got the move to Derry to experience the League of Ireland, the new league, and you know, a real professional setup. So no, I wouldn't say I regret it, no.
No, no, you're right. I would be a believer in things happen for a reason too, and you do it, and you make the best of it. And as you say, while it was maybe ended up frustrating at Crusaders, then you did get a good move to Derry City, and that was a club that I think you would have gone to watch anyway before playing with them, and it was a team and a club that in your career you wanted to play for, so things worked out well for you. And you know, when you look back on your time at the Brandywell, there's a lot of really good memories there, isn't there?
Aye, but it's majority of memories of the Brandywell is good, and they like got on with everybody. It's a great changing room. Obviously, won the FA Cup, and it was a big moment. 20-something thousand fans came down. That whole week after the Guildhall reception, stuff like that. But then even see the times that like there was a European run, got into the third round, narrowly lost out. And but seeing things like that, like we travelled to Kazakhstan of all places, mad place. 14 hours it was on a plane. But no, thanks again. It's all things I'll look back on when I'm done, and they'll be proud memories.
Yeah, I mean, great memories, Johnny. Like, you know, we've all seen, we all kept a close eye on Jamie, even when he went to cruise and to Derry as well up the road. And Jamie scored some great goals for Derry City and scored in a cup final as well. It's things like that are standouts for you in a career.
Yeah, and he scored too many goals against Corey Inn for my liking when he was at the Crew. It was like every time he played against us, he scored against us. It nearly seemed to be all the time he scored against us, we always won the game. So it sort of worked out well. So League Cup final and a couple of games at the Showgrounds as well. So, okay, yeah, look, I remember watching the FA Cup final against Shelburne. I think it may have been 3-4-0 or whatever. So, yeah, look, they score in a major cup final in front of a massive crowd that day. Some achievement, and yeah, I think probably the only thing missing from Jamie's career so far is a league winners medal. And I know he's been close with Corey Inn and close with probably Derry as well. So, no, yeah, and playing in Europe, like, you're not going to go to Kazakhstan unless you're a footballer, really. So, yeah, so they play in Europe too and win all the medals is a good achievement.
I have to bring this up. You mentioned that the League Cup final and about Jamie scoring. And whenever you said that, it just came into my head, was there not a great chance at the end of that game?
I'm not going to comment on that, Damien. I'm a firm believer that I missed that on purpose. They left.
Jamie, talk us through that one, because I had forgotten about it until he mentioned that match, and then it came into my head straight away. I mean, nightmares about that one, though.
Aye, definitely. I still think about it sometimes. The ball broke to me, and it's probably as mad as it sounds, I probably caught it too well.
Yep.
And then see, whenever you watch it back, it actually looks worse, obviously, because the stand's so far away from the goal. But there's a photo, it goes over the bar, maybe it's an inch or 2 inches, but obviously with a camera and things like that, it looks far worse. But no, I caught it too well. Probably it's one of them ones, if I shank it, it goes in, and the game goes to extra time. Like, but it's just one of them things.
I would agree with you. I think you did. You caught it too well.
Yeah.
Did I?
Aye, if you have, as you say, shanked it, half hit it, whatever, it probably would have gone in. It was just too good a hit, and it was just like one of those things. But I think we secretly happy then that Corey Inn won.
Oh, yeah, I wasn't thinking about that at that time. I just couldn't believe that I missed. And because it was a cup final too, obviously there's a trophy on offer. It's just, it was heartbreaking time for me now.
And Johnny said about the cup final goal, it was a great finish. And another great goal you scored up at the Brandywell. I always remember the one you cut in out of the off the left there and took it on and buried it with the left foot into the top of the net. That was a great finish, great goal.
The one against Shamrock Rovers, the 94th or 95th minute on the injury time. Obviously, I think that was the first time Derry had beat Shamrock Rovers there in whatever time it was. And obviously, being in a league title race, that was putting a marker down early in the season. That was the buzz. People, all the young kids running on the pitch and all, it was madness. And then the cup final one, especially because it was such a large crowd there as well. That's obviously what you dream about that week, scoring a goal in the cup final. And it was crazy too, because that phase of play is something we worked on that week because of the size of the pitch. Usually when you play Shelburne play really tight and defensive, and down at their pitch it suits them because it's a narrow pitch. So we had actually worked on Fats getting the ball, switching it out to Ryan Green, cut back, go. And it was mad whenever it actually then happened. You see it come to fruition then.
The hard work pays off. Can you even try and begin to describe what that feeling is like to score at a cup final and in front of such a crowd and knowing what it means to a club? Can you even put that into words, or is it just something that you cannot describe?
No, I don't think you can really describe it. It's just, you're just ecstatic, to be honest. But at the start, whenever it goes in, you're sort of a wee bit surprised, like, oh, yes. And then all the feelings, it's hard to describe. Scoring goals is one of the best feelings in the world, I think. No matter if it's in a friendly or obviously in a cup final, it feels a bit better. But scoring goals, it's something, it's an addictive rush.
And that's something that I suppose we said it already, strikers are judged by goals. And I suppose the way things then transpired at Derry City, you had a couple of really good seasons, and then your last season there, I know you had a bit of an injury, and then you were sort of out of the side, and then you were in and out. Did it just get frustrating in the end up, Jamie, where you just couldn't get a serious run of games to get your goal scoring back up and running again?
That's exactly it. I was playing like a sort of a role that, so I was playing as a striker, but I had to like drift out left to leave space for another player to come inside. But I was just happy doing it because our task that year was to try and win a league title. So it was sort of put my priorities to the side, the sort of betterment of the team. And whenever that's happening, I'm not getting in the box as much, so I'm not getting any of the chances or anything. And it's not to say as if I was missing chances either. I wasn't getting no chances to score, but then I was out of the team. And then once you're out of the team, then I'm trying to get back in. It's hard to get back in and stay in. You need a run of games to find form again. It's just the way it is, no matter what position you play in. And then it came, obviously, towards the end of the season when I started feeling like I was going to play well. Now, like I was having a strong finish, then we played a friendly against Corian and I got a bad slap in the ribs, and that was my season finished.
And then, were you disappointed just in how your time at Derry finished? Because I think you had another year left in your contract, but just the way things ended up, you probably may have known that things were changing in terms of your position, and maybe Rory wanted to go in a different direction. Were you just disappointed slightly how it ended, or is it just one of those things that happens in football?
Yeah, no, I was definitely disappointed in how it ended. I was more disappointed in probably my goal return that year because it was by far the lowest that I've scored in a season. And one of them things as a striker, you want to be scoring goals, and that's what gets me going, scoring goals. So it was obviously disappointing, and it probably hurt more than anything else. I'd only scored 5 goals it was that year, and that's for a striker, that's shocking to be fair. And had an honest conversation with Rory, and I knew that probably I was going to have to move on, but I still had, it was 2 years that I had left in my deal, so at the same time I was in no panic to go anywhere. I would have stayed and fought for my place, but once then I spoke to Orne and Corey, and obviously I decided that that's what I wanted to do.
And Johnny, it's probably no secret that Orne is a long time admirer of Jamie, and obviously they go way back in their relationship together, but it's probably no secret that Orne was always interested in trying to get Jamie back to the club. Yes, he was successful in January, but there were probably occasions prior to that where Orne, if he had had a chance of getting Jamie back, he would have done.
I'd say Orne would have took Jamie back every single window that he could have, you know. So I think the club maybe weren't sitting in the summer, and Jamie might know that better than I do. So, but I think obviously, look, I think when Jamie became available, and obviously with the plans to go full time in the summer, I think it sort of made sense and put two and two together and to bring him back. So no, yeah, look, I think as I said earlier, I think it's a move that suits Jamie and a move that suits Orne. And I think there's probably an added hunger with Jamie where he said there that he probably didn't score enough goals last season, and if he can come in at Corey in and get, you know, I don't know, he's on one at the minute before the end of the season. If he can get, you know, 7 or 8 goals, no pressure, I'm sure that he'll be happy with that, and then hit the ground running as well. You know, he's had a bad rib injury there. I think it was that he admitted at the time he got hurt at the showgrounds. So, yeah. So fingers crossed that injury free and plenty of goals and I pick up more points.
I think as you said before we come on, he's the Corian's leading scorer this year.
He is top goal scorer in 2024, goal of the month winner. You know, so guy, only goal we scored this year, but now listen, I think speaking of that there, and all jokes aside, I think we need nearly a win like that, score last kick of the game, or a scrappy win, you know, that sort of way, rather than, I think that can maybe galvanise things and try and get things going. We have a tough run coming up after this weekend, is it Cliftonville, Limfield and Uray, so all different types of challenges there. So yeah, it was good to get a win and get a wee bit of confidence heading into them games.
Yeah, I mean, Jamie, what was the reaction afterwards in the changing room and that? I mean, the team had lost 7 games in a row, and then you score an 89th minute winner to get a win. What was the feeling after the game among the group of players?
Yeah, it was a brilliant feeling. Obviously, it had been a tough run of late, but victory tunes were back on. People were happy singing. It's crazy what a one can do in football. It's just hopefully now we can kick on, and obviously there's no game this week, but hopefully from next week we can kick on from the Glenavon game and start picking up points.
I mean, what can a victory like that do for the team? Because they have been struggling. A last minute winner at home. What can that do for the group of players that are there at the moment?
It can do a world of confidence. It's even like for personal things like Rory keeping a clean sheet will give him a bit of confidence, the defender's confidence. Then obviously me scoring it'll add to my confidence now that I'm up and running. It's just even things like that all join up collectively, and whenever you feel get that winning feeling back, again, as I said, it's one of them things. It's an addictive feeling. You want it all the time, and it sort of drives you on, really.
Aye, because winning's a habit and losing can become a habit, they always say as well. Just on your goal, were you worried at any stage that Andy Scott was going to get a touch of that and get flagged for offside?
I didn't actually, at the time, I hadn't seen him until very late. And that's the first thing I thought. I looked across to see what the linesman was going to do, but apparently it was already in. Well, so Andy said anyway, so I'm going to take it.
Oh, you'd have been raging, wouldn't you? Could you imagine Orne? If that had a been offside for that,
I don't even want to think about it. I wouldn't
I
even
always
want to
think
think
Orne
about
would
it.
have been in the ban.
I wouldn't want to think about it.
Oh, I think Andy Scott would have been in the ban. Never mind bringing Orne. We were just saying about leaving the Derry City and the wrench. I guess it is a wrench when you leave a club and you've got good friends there. Obviously, Jack is a good friend, and you have other good friends there as well. It's a wrench. I'm just thinking, whenever you then. Obviously, you knew that Corrine and Orne were interested, and it was January, it was the middle of the season, and whatever. But when you speak with Orne, or you spoke with Orne, did he give you that reassurance that you needed? For example, you're going to be a striker, I'm going to play you up front, you and whoever else, that's your position. Is that the kind of things that you needed to hear, or you wanted to hear, or that you did hear from Orne?
It was mentioned, but to be honest, I probably didn't need to hear it because I would know playing for Orne that he's going to play where he gets the best out of me, sort of thing. So it was more conversations and obviously the talk about this full time and where the club wants to go and things like that. That was the more appealing side because I knew the playing side would look after itself. I'll play up front or else maybe just off the left sometimes, but and I'll get to stay forward as well, so I don't have no defensive duties. But no, it's the things, the plans for the club, and as we spoke about the grant that's been awarded to the club, the upgrade of facilities and things like that. So if all that comes to fruition, the club will look completely different again in another year or 2 years' time.
I mean, excuse me, it's an exciting time, isn't it, with the investment. I think there's maybe announcements coming up in the next week or two, or 2 weeks, whatever it might be, about the proposed takeover. But from what Orne and the club were saying to you, you know that what the future is going to be, and you're used to now being a full-time footballer, so you know that that's what you're setting up for. I'm just thinking that'll make a massive difference to Korean Football Club as it is now, won't it? Because we're still a part-time club, if you like. And you've played part-time, you've also then been in the full-time situation at Crusaders and more recently in Derry. What kind of impact can that have for a club such as Korean going that full-time route?
Going full time, obviously, it'll make you a better team. No doubt you'll be able to attract better players as well. Obviously, offering a full time package, that's what I would say 99% of people who play football want to be full time footballers. So you're attracting a different type of player, and in general, your play style will be better, your defending will be better, every aspect will be better. Like I've been asked before, and I've said that I found it harder to score goals in the League of Ireland, but that's maybe because so many teams are full time, and you literally have a full session during the week dedicated to how you're going to defend. If the ball's here, you go here. If this man goes here, you go there, sort of thing. And it nearly always plays out like that whenever it comes to the game day, and then you're prepared in all aspects. Whereas at part time, you don't have as much hands on time, so it's hard. You sort of need to get the fitness side and in touches of the ball in rather than the whole tactics side.
And I suppose it's no coincidence, really, when you look at the current Irish League and you look at Larne, for example. I mean, you know, Larne are sort of, I suppose, the barometer of where other teams want to get to, because it's exactly what you're saying there, Jimmy. Because they meet every day, they can talk through patterns of play, game setups, style, tactics. And you can see they won the league last year. They've every chance of winning it again this year. And it's largely as a result of having that extra time to put into even defending from corners or attacking from corners. And that's what Korean have, they kind of need that to get up to the next level, don't they?
Yeah, it's all small percentages, but they all add up. Like the way Larne is there at the moment, that you mentioned, like I've seen the things that they've done on YouTube, it looks like a brilliant setup. Things are obviously running well, and whenever you have that much contact time and you see players seeing each other every day, they become closer, they're bonding closer, and they, as I said, that see all them small percentages, they all add up to the big one at the end. Then
that's crazy. I mean, 9-10 years ago, when you walked in the gates of the showgrounds as like a scrawny wee teenager coming in from Dungiven, I'm sure you never thought, like a decade down the line, that you'd be a full time professional at a full time club at the showgrounds in Korean. Must have seemed a million miles away.
No, definitely not. It wouldn't even cross my mind. And there was no full time anywhere in the league. It was just a part time league, and that's the way it is. And since investment started to come into football clubs, that seems to be the thing now, that obviously these businessmen or investors, rich people, that seems to be what they want to do now, is buy football clubs, and as long as it benefits the club, then happy days.
Johnny, just on the investment, and I know you're usually quite close to things that are happening at the club and your social media role and stuff, and just wondering what where we're at with it, because always fans are always talking and asking you what's happening, and you know there's always a scarcity of hard information, and I guess that's because things have to take place behind the scenes to make sure everything's right. But have you been hearing anything recently?
Genuine of the investment, you know as much as I do. That's the gospel, that's the truth. So I think it's one of the things where I think it's been kept very in-house and behind sort of closed doors, just to get everything done. So obviously I was letting them know about the two grants there through the week, obviously for the 4 or 3G pitch, where the training pitch used to be, and then obviously the grant for the new toilet block and things like that. But in terms of the overall investment, I haven't been told anything just as yet.
Just wait and see, I suppose. But I guess all those things are taking place behind the scenes. But Jimmy, what about your own fitness? Because I know Oren had mentioned at the end of the game, he was obviously pleased with your goal, and he said more will come. But people have to bear in mind that you're kind of, kind of your off season almost, isn't it? And in an ideal world, Orton would like to have given you 4 or 5 weeks of training to get you up to speed, but he doesn't have that luxury, I'm afraid. But just wondering where you're at fitness wise yourself.
No, exactly. It's nearly like my dairy. So the season that I was obviously with, they're in pre season at the minute, so they're only really starting to get fit. But all through December, I was running and training myself 3 to 4 times a week following an off-season program, but I haven't. But the match sharpness is completely different to, like, I have a base fitness there. No, I could go and run you 10K, no problem. But see, it's all the short, sharp stuff, and obviously with a ball at your feet, it's different. And I hadn't, my last game I think I played was maybe start of October around then, so it's a good few months ago. And I've obviously, and then I've went straight on to playing 60 minutes in 290s. So it'll probably, usually in pre-season, your first game's at 45 minutes, the next one might be 45, but straight into the deep end, just hopefully my match sharpness comes soon. But I know it's not there.
How sore is that on you? You know, because you must be like way behind where everybody else is, obviously, but those 90s, they must be sore on you physically.
They would be, but to be fair, over recent years, my recovery's been a lot better. Now I'm doing different things now in terms of recovery. Like I'm doing sessions the day after a game, like an off feet stuff and things like that. But like there against Glenavon, when I was played through by Lee Lynch, my two calves started cramping, when I was running through, and I was just thinking in my head, "Don't, please, don't." But thankfully, scored, and then and the celebrations, my calf did cramp in, and it lasted for, I felt it for 2 or 3 days, the tightness then. But I'll get there. Like, it's just the match sharpness that I need.
And how important was it for you personally to get a goal? I think you've only played two, three games, but how important is it to get that first goal early in your spell here now?
Oh, it's massive, because if things, say, if for whatever reason I didn't get a goal and it lingered on and went 5 games, 6 games, and people start talking about flops and all this sort of stuff. But no, I think as a striker, it's massive to, obviously, whenever you're, like, especially returning to a club, that you pick up where you left off, and you score early on, and hopefully score plenty more.
How's it been coming back? Because you were here, and a lot of people are still in and around the club, and boys and people you would have known from your first spell here. And when the news was announced that you were re-signing and stuff, there was a lot of like nice welcomes back on social media and stuff. And I mean, that must mean a lot to because everybody, we all have an ego and we're all human and we all like to be liked and stuff. And how did that make you feel coming back the summer where you probably feel comfortable?
Yeah, that's exactly how I would describe it. Like, whenever, obviously, going into the Corian first team changing room the very first time, I was nervous. Going up to Crusaders, nervous. Going into Derry, a bit nervous. But coming back to Corian, it was a weird feeling. It was more an excitement, and it was a comfortable feeling nearly, because I'd obviously knew the club, knew a lot of people there, worked with Orm before. Some of the players that I played with still there, and a lot of people were nice. Majority of comments were nice on social media, even from Derry fans as well, well wishing and more or less thanking me for what I had done there, stuff that they'll never forget, goals and that. And no, definitely, it's definitely a nice feeling now, whenever you see things like that and people sending you positive messages.
I mean, Johnny, it probably helps. Like anybody going into a new work environment, if you know there's people there and you're familiar with them and you're comfortable being in that scenario, it's a good place to be, and you'll probably get the best out of that individual as well, won't you? As a bonus.
Yeah, 100%. And obviously, there's a lot of people at Corian are still there, and Jamie's there, both on and off the pitch. So, whilst there's been a few changes, obviously, in terms of the 3G going down and all that other stuff, there hasn't been probably too many changes. And we're still there, Winky's still there, and
I'm
Lyndon,
still here.
you're still there, Lyndon's still there, and probably all the club shop staff are still there, and the social club, like, nothing really overly ever changes at Corian. So, yeah, it's just seamlessly comes back. And obviously, I know he's good mates with Rory Brown as well. So, and them two, that's probably helps Rory as well. So, yeah, just Irish League's a small league anyway, to be fair. So, regardless of where Jamie ever went to, I'm sure there was somebody that he would have known.
And Jimmy, do you feel, I wouldn't say so much a point to prove, but do you have a bit of a hunger to sort of re-establish yourself, if that's the right word? Or given what happened to Derry and maybe to an extent at the Crews as well, and you're only 27, I mean, it's not like you're fucking in your 30s or anything. It's like, do you have that hunger now just to go and prove yourself again as Jamie McGonigal, the goal scoring striker?
I definitely do. I always had a hunger to score goals anyway, but especially off the back of coming of such a hurtful season to me. And then especially when you're returning, like, I'm returning to a club where I would say I'd done well the last time and scored loads of goals. The last thing I want to do is go back and not play well and not score goals. Like, because everybody, most people at Corian, probably if you ask them about me, the first thing they'll think about is probably goals. So I just want to pick up that reputation where I left it, and hopefully I scored plenty. Hopefully I scored more than I did even the last time I was here.
And I suppose when you look around in the change room, I suppose there's plenty of players there that can help get you goals. Okay, Jamie Glacca hasn't really been playing, I suppose, because of injury. But when you like, you've got Conor McKendry and Lee Lynch and Andy Scott, and if you've got Matthew Shevlin up there, there are the building blocks in place that can help. Somebody like you, they'll create chances for you, and you hopefully can take them.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. As a striker, you can't do it on your own. Obviously, you can have the odd solo goal and stuff like that, but majority of the time, you need quality behind you, those feeding you, those able to see the pass. And There's obviously quality there behind me, and like Jack Scott, I think has been a brilliant signing. Like he's been really good to play with. Like people you've named there, Glax obviously was. He's a bit of an injury at the minute, but I'd played with him before. Obviously, when at last time I was a Corian, good player. Stevie Lowry as well came back in on Saturday, picked me out with a perfect pass, and my touch, I don't know, was like an elephant. But now there's
Well,
definitely
put that down to lack of sharpness.
As I heard Ornan said that, what actually happened there too was I was too far ahead of myself. I was thinking what I was going to do next rather than just simply controlling the ball first. But no, there's quality there, and that's what you need as a striker if you want to score goals.
Yeah, and with the plans in place for next season as well, there could be more players coming through as well, coming in for next season.
Aye, definitely with the full time thing obviously being spoke about, and obviously it's nothing to do with me, transfers and things like that, but you would expect that there could be a few more signings, as there always is in a summer window, and so you could be looking at a different type of player now, especially if the full time chat comes to fruition.
Johnny, I bet Chevy's glad to see Jamie. Give him a bit of a hand up there.
Aye, well, listen, you can never have too many goal scorers in your team, so. Yeah, Jamie and Chevy, interesting to see how they get on together.
Yeah.
It's hard probably to judge it now because Chevy's had a complete stop start season, and Jamie's just really signed and probably hasn't really stopped since the League of Ireland. So I think probably only see the better probably see the full strength of their relationships, really speak up front, probably the start of next season, if we're being totally honest. So, be interested to see how they get on. And obviously, you've got Davies' experience there too, and Kieran O'Hara is probably learning his trade. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how they all get on together. And yeah, Jamie made a good point about Jack Scott as well. I think he's been really impressive.
Yeah.
I said it before, just how when he gets the ball, he looks forward straight away, passes the ball forward rather than backwards all the time, or not picking out a forward pass. So, yeah, I think that's been a real positive.
Yeah, Jamie, just when Johnny was talking there, like striking is a particular area of the field, and you know, sometimes there's like a lone striker, or it going back in the past, my era, you would have had like strike partners, as it were. You always had two strikers that played together, etc. I'm just thinking, any indications how, for example, you and Chevy may play? Is it a front two, or will he have maybe a front three of you and Chevy and maybe a Connor or something? Any talk about how things are going to develop going forward?
I think it could end up just obviously depending on the opposition and what way you're going to set out to play. But you know, like I started up through the middle with Chevy there on Saturday, just for example, and then ended up drifting out to the left a wee bit. But I think Chevy, if you see if you need to do that happen, if that needs to happen, no, I'm versatile enough that I can go out to the left, or I can play in behind him a wee bit, or things like that. And Chevy's more than capable of doing up top himself if it needs be. So no, I think there'll be a load of options there, whoever, or else say Davy as well. Davy can obviously play in the 10, and you know, there's a load of options there of strike partnerships as well, and there's no real indication yet, but you know, it's too early days, but there's definitely a lot of options there.
Yeah, I mean, the options are good and they're exciting, aren't they? As you say, these are all adaptable, and I mean, Chevy had a great season last year. I mean, have you been impressed with what you've seen of him? You maybe didn't come across him previously in your career.
I think I first came across Chevy, I think it was whenever he came through at Ballymena, wasn't it?
Yes,
And
right.
but obviously he was very young then, I think, and he was scoring a few goals, but obviously like scoring goals at Corrie and then it was just a complete different level, and a lot of them was first time finishes, like first time with feet or headers and that, and well, that's a skill on its own. It's something that I would say I have as well. A lot of my finishes would be first time. And no, he's definitely a goal scorer and somebody I'm looking forward to playing with.
And being competitive people as well, you'd be trying to outscore each other, which can only benefit the team, I suppose.
Oh, of course you're going to try and outscore each other, but at the same time, like when I was younger, maybe we wouldn't, but now I'm at this stage, probably my experience in that, if he's in a better position, I'm going to give it to him. Like it's just one of them things, even if it means he was to be a top scorer or whatever, I would still do it if you were getting a trophy out of the end of it. Like,
You've definitely, you know, in the 10 years since you've been at Korean and been away, you've definitely changed as a a player then physically and mentally as well? You're obviously stronger now because you're older, but with the benefit of the full-time training over the last number of years, physically you're a lot stronger, but mentally too, you're a lot more mature, I suppose.
I definitely know, like, there's been a lot of games on through there and different experiences between cup finals and things like playing in Europe and learning different positions. No, I'm like, I'd be comfortable now to, I used to hate getting the ball to feet. I couldn't have done it whenever I was younger. Just either kicking it behind or I don't want it. But now I'm comfortable. Like, see, even training possession games and stuff, I used to hate them. Didn't want to do them, simple as. But now I'm at the stage where I'm comfortable on the ball. No, I'll take it. I'll see passes. I'll try passes, things like that. But I know my own body more now as well. Training, I'm obviously through the full time and that, you know, better how to train, when not to train, maybe, or even see simple things like if you feel, say, you felt the muscle getting a wee bit tight or that, you're better just stopping. Whereas when I was younger, I'd try to play it on and then it just gets worse. And next thing, you're missing a few weeks. So it's even simple things like that all add up in the end.
Yeah, very good. Johnny, just on a separate thing, you were talking about full time, etc., and the club and developments and stuff. And there was a story just broke today, Wednesday, for anybody that maybe hasn't seen it, I think, a new appointment to the backroom at Corian, if you could tell us a bit about that.
Hi, Junior Mendes has come in, obviously, as head of performance. So I think he worked with Orne at St Mirren. So I think he's going to be in charge of all the performance-related stuff with, like, GPS and a wee bit of coaching and warm-ups and things like that. So obviously, Jamie would probably have a better, probably hands-on relationship with him than I will. But I think just by reading between the lines, he's been at, you know, St Mirren and Hearts head on them as well. So he's been at some top clubs in Scotland, and I think his wife's actually from Ballyclare, so they moved back over and he was working at Randox, and I think Orne was trying to keep the whole thing under wraps and without anyone coming in with to bring him in. So yeah, look, especially where the club's looking to go and performance related stuff and everyone else, and it's the fine margins in football now. Even 1% of difference can be massive. So yeah, I think if you bring in a person like that, can only help with the professionalism around the club too. So I'd love to get him on the podcast one week. Jamie's appearance fee this week has broke us for about a month here. So maybe next month we can try and get him on.
I mean, how have you found him, Jamie? And I think he was doing bits and pieces before the Glenavon game, and that. Maybe you haven't had a lot of interaction with him, but initial impressions.
I know, definitely. We've met him, and there's actually a small group of us now that do extra sessions, like myself included, and Rory's there, Jack Scott is there, Davey was down, Lee Lynch is down, London as well, if he's able to, and like he's doing gym sessions and things like that, strength and conditioning, building their power, and that started last week. So we've sort of, it's nearly like a double session type of thing we're doing now, where we have the gym and then a bit of food and then obviously the pitch session with everyone then. But no, I think it's definitely, the club's definitely going in the right direction. Maybe you're employing somebody of that quality in his job and then the experience that he has.
I mean, it's crazy, as you say, somebody of that ilk, you know, worked for Hearts and Mirren and stuff, and you've got him on board. It can only help. And I know this season has been a bit of a write-off in some respects, the way things have panned out. And a lot of people obviously say, oh, after the Irish Cup defeat against Cliftonville, oh, that's the season over and stuff. But in reality, it's not, Jimmy. I mean, the first half of the season hasn't been particularly good, but with the players coming back from injury, likes of Stevie and O'Donnell, Stevie Lowry, Chevy, and the number of new signings, I would argue that the second half of the season is very important, not only for this season and trying to finish as high up as possible, but to lay the marker or foundation down for next season, looking ahead. Okay, this season hasn't been good, but it can still amount to something, can't it?
Well, it definitely can. And like in football, you're only as good as your last game, as the saying goes, and people will be playing for their futures, really. So everybody's going to be trying, and obviously at the end of the season there's a European playoff as well, so we need to finish and guarantee that we're in that, and then you're simply two games away from qualifying in Europe, and at some stage, I'm sure anybody would take that right now if somebody gave you European football. But some people would even call that a successful season at the end of the year. But there's still definitely a lot to play for, and as long as we finish in them European playoff places and we have everybody coming back from injury, and maybe by that time of the season, a lot of people starting to gel and the new signings and stuff, and you'll be able to get your strongest team out, and who knows what'll happen.
Yeah, no game this weekend, obviously, because the Irish Cup, unfortunately. But on the positive side, it gives Orne and maybe Junior Mendes and the coaching staff and the group of players, just gives you a little bit of extra time to do a bit of work in the training field, just to try to work out what way the club and the team wants to go forward. And sometimes that's a blessing in disguise, isn't it? A little bit more time in the change room to get the manager's thoughts across to the players.
Yeah, definitely. It's there's obviously you can look at it both sides. It's better in terms of the new signings, like and boys like Chevy and that come back from injury, probably need that wee bit of extra sharpness and training with the ball and things. And then you can look at it the other side too, that we're only off the back of a one that got us out of that run. You want to keep that momentum, whereas now you have to wait another week essentially. But no, but I think the definitely in the training side of things and helping getting boys up to speed again quicker is definitely a positive.
It is. And then Johnny, back to Cliftonville Solitude for our next league game. That's your favourite ground, isn't it? Your favourite place to go.
We haven't been there this year, so I suppose we're due to go back, aren't we? Listen, it'll be a tough one. They're flying high, and they'll be really pleased with Linfield getting beat last weekend, obviously. So yeah, look, it'll be a tough place to go. They've had our number quite recently in a lot of the games. So we're due to give them a beating, or give them or take points off them anyway. So yeah, fingers crossed that we can go there and get something.
Luke Turner, he's away.
Yeah, he went to St. Pat's as part of the deal for Odemusu, the goalkeeper. Obviously joined Cliftonville permanently. So yeah, probably suits both parties. Cliftonville probably didn't want to lose Turner, but I think St. Pat's met his buyout clause in his contract, so there's very little you can do. So I think they get the keeper in, who's been doing really, really well for them permanently. He's a real good boost for Cliftonville. So maybe they'll be trying to get a centre half in before the window closes.
Yeah. Jimmy, you look forward to somewhere like going back to play Cliftonville at Solitude. Always good games, big crowd up there. It's like one of the sort of big games in the Irish League for Corrine. It's you're going back to familiar grounds again, aren't you?
Aye, that's it. And you always get a bit of extra stick off the crowd and all, which is obviously a good crack. But like things probably recently up there for Corey and haven't went well. But the last time I was at the club, it was the complete opposite. You always got a result up there. Things were going well, but obviously my clearance didn't come through to play an Irish Cup
Right.
against Cliftonville. But from watching it between in the 90 minutes, there was nothing between the teams. Corey and probably just lacked a creative spark that night, to be honest. And then obviously the wonder goal, Ronan Hill's strike. There's nothing you can do about that, and you're always in the back foot chasing the game. And they obviously went up the pitch and scored two breakaway goals then, and that was just it.
Linden was sent off, unfortunately, in that game, I think, as well, wasn't he? I mean, that was never sending off, was
Wasn't even a foul. He got the ball first and his toes down,
it?
and I don't know, but you see, it's easy saying that because if you see it back or whatever. But even at the time, I didn't think it was a foul. But obviously, the ref has to do what he sees, and he obviously deemed it that it was a second yellow, even though I don't agree with it.
Fine margins, Johnny, isn't it? As Jamie said, there was a little between the teams that night, and you and I both said it when we were standing there watching it or sitting watching it. It was a game that was crying out for a Jamie McGonigal type, wasn't
Aye, well, it would have helped anyway,
it?
but no, listen, it obviously, yeah, I think with Chevy not really being fit either, and it definitely would have helped to have another option up front. So yeah, just disappointing to go out the Irish Cup, and it was probably one of the toughest draws that we could have had. So yeah, it's just one of them things where it's going to be weird this weekend having no matches and seeing everybody else. I'll probably be sent to a match, I think I'm actually for Larne Glen Avon, so I don't aren't the one that Corian aren't matching either. So, listen, one of them things, and yeah, look, we, I said about a month ago, I'd be confident enough that we were going to finish top six without any bother, and I still think we will, but we definitely now have a fight in our hands, obviously with Carrick and Loughgall and Glenavon going really well. So, yeah, all the matches between now and the league split are very.
Yeah, I just think now with the team, the first 11, the first team in the squad just looks a lot stronger with the new signings and the players back from injury. It's more like a recognizable Korean team, Oran Kearney team.
Yeah, it definitely is. It's just a shame that different people have picked up really bad injuries, like Josh and Chevy, and Stevie O'Donnell. That's your whole, spine of your team. And it just takes players different amounts of time to get back up to speed. And the whole season just really felt stop start, to be honest. It's just felt like a really weird season, as well. And everyone obviously behind the scenes, and then obviously the new players coming in and bedding them in too. And yeah, it's just, I wouldn't say it's been a disaster, but it just feels as if it's just been. Pick up a good result, then somebody gets injured, or it's just felt really stop start, in my opinion. It just hasn't felt, I haven't felt we have any rhythm, probably both on and off the pitch. So, fingers crossed that we can just, have a couple of months now between now and the end of the season where things go well.
Yeah, just have to ask you, Jimmy, how's wee Jaggy? How's he?
Hi,
He's had a tough time.
he's getting nice with enough. Obviously, the back of a tough time there, but he's getting on well now, and he's back in team training and stuff. And I think he told me it's either this weekend or next weekend he's allowed to get back into games and get a few minutes. Like, so things are definitely looking up for him. And I just hope that it holds up for him this time, and he can kick on and start doing what he loves again.
Yeah, it's been a horrendous couple of years for him. Kieran Harkin, we're talking about, if anybody doesn't know his nickname, but horrendous couple of years for him. But let's all have our fingers crossed that he gets back into playing. And I know that the club gave him a year's contract there, so let's hope he does well. And Brad Lyons, of course, Jamie, you keep an eye on him too, I suppose, over across the water.
I do. I've seen he's picked up an injury now as well. That's unfortunate. Like, but Brad being Brad will come back for it and be stronger than strong as he was. So I have no doubt of it whenever he comes back. But he seems to be flying as well.
Very good, very good. Here, Jamie, delighted that you're on the podcast. It's been a lovely catch up with you. Any games of golf planned that you and
I've actually
pick
not
that man,
played
take
now
that
in.
man out, huh?
I've actually not played now in about 3 weeks because the Wayne was sick there last week, and then I was sick the week before, so I didn't bother. And the weather's just—I don't go out sea when it's. I don't mind a wee bit of rain or a wee bit of wind, but see when it's both and it storms,
No
I'm not
good.
bothering going out
Where
like I.
Jamie, you
Where
told me you haven't
are
been out because Live Golf offered you a deal and you don't know where to go or not.
you? Listen, boy, no, I'm a member and up in Foyle, like, but.
Yeah.
Recently, most recently, I've been playing at Northwest, the Lynx course in Buncrana.
Ah, very good. Very good. What handicap are you?
Five.
Scratch.
Ooh, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. Johnny, what about
Five.
you?
Oh, they wouldn't give me one.
Oh, sick. Aye, that's very good.
This year I want to get below four. Like, it's when I got my first handicap, I was 17.
Very good.
Like, and then I got it gradually down to about 10, and then I was a member at Fon Valley though, and it was a short course, and as I got probably stronger and hitting the ball further, it turned it into a really short course and started shooting low scores, like, and that's when it shot down. But it's obviously a lot harder now, Northwest and things. But now I want to get below four, maybe 3 points something, I'll be happy.
That's when you know you're a full-time pro footballer when you go golfing, like
No, Gareth Bale, hey.
Gareth Bale, there you go.
The full-time side of things has definitely helped with the availability to golf.
I would say it does. It is the dream, isn't it? You just train during the day and you eat well and blah blah blah. I mean, it's just the dream life, isn't it?
It was brilliant, especially at Derry. I think there was maybe 15 in the squad that played golf, so you were never stuck for a group. And like a Monday after training, you'd maybe had training, obviously lunch in the gym, but they play in a summer league, so it was late, or it was bright till late on, and you would have went out on a Monday and a Tuesday as well, like, so, and then maybe a day at the weekend, so you were getting out 2 or 3 times a week.
You can't do it anymore now. You have a baby and a child, and you're not be allowed out as much.
No, to be fair, Cara's good with things like that. Like, she knows that, well, technically, football's my job. That's my work. So, golf's my hobby.
Very good, Johnny. You know all about being under the thumb too. And here, what about your dad? How's he? You haven't seen him down at the ground yet.
Oh, he's good. He's good. I think he did go down to a game there. What game was it?
Oh, I don't know.
The He went down to the Carrick game. Sorry that he was down that day, but
Right.
he wasn't down last week. He was away.
Big
But now
bongo.
he's getting on well.
Big bongo. We'll have to catch up with him whenever we see him again. Always
Yeah,
good for
Johnny
our
said he's
young.
not going to give him a hug.
Very good. Hey, well, boys, thank you very much, Jamie. I thank you for your time. Johnny will square you up with your appearance fee there. He can take
Hey,
it out
don't
of
be
his pocket.
starting
Well, you've had to live golf here. Good to see you back. Good to see you scoring as well. And I'm delighted you're enjoying your time. And I know it's early days, but I think Johnny mentioned earlier you played some of your best football here and your sort of happiest times here, and hopefully that can be the case again.
Yeah, exactly. And thanks for having me on. I really enjoyed it.
No problem. Johnny, anything you want to say then before he goes there?
No, I've matured, Damien. I've got my slavering and done there. I got a few digs in, so
That's
it's just
very good.
great I can speak to him now again since he's came back. You know, it's been a long 3.5 years, 4 years, whatever else. So.
That's right.
I know he didn't even invite me to his wedding.
I Did
know.
he not?
No, never
Oh,
even got
hey,
invited to
you didn't miss much.
the wedding.
Only joking, Laura. Only joking. She hears that. You missed the stag do as well. That was good.
Oh, never get an invite for that
That was good now, I have to say. Anyway, less said about that, the better. That's where we started. We started with stag do's in Vegas, and we ended up with stag do in Prague. So that's good symmetry there. Jamie, as I say, keep up the good work. Good to see you back, Corian. Johnny, we will see you very soon.
Yep.
No game for Corian fans this week, unfortunately. So I don't know what you can do. You can maybe go shopping or play golf, do something like that. So until next weekend, thank you very much. And as ever, come on the Balance Irish.